This is WFYI News Now. It's November 9th, and I'm Darian Benson. Coming up, children with disabilities are entitled to a public education, but parents sometimes have to fight for those rights.
It really made me angry. It made me so angry, and that's why I was like, I've got to do something, get this corrected.
An investigation from WFYI education reporter Lee Gaines examines how families and schools can both lose in these disputes. But first, these headlines. Supporters of the world-famous Kinsey Sex Research Institute continue to protest Indiana University's plan to separate it from the university. For WFYI, Sarah Neil Estes has this story from reporter Ethan Sandwise.
The Kinsey Institute researches sexuality, gender, and relationships. And for years, Indiana University has largely been able to insulate that research from a variety of attacks. Now this year, a state budget amendment stripped the Institute of public funding. IU may now split Kinsey into a separate 501c3 nonprofit, and that has many worried. To oppose the split, people gathered at the Kinsey statue on the Bloomington campus to present a petition that includes more than 5,000 names, including respected researchers, Bloomington Mayor-elect Carrie Thompson, and students, including freshman Kylie Brown.
I think that we can't consider ourselves the same way if we got rid of the Kinsey Institute as part of IU.
Former Kinsey employee Jennifer Bass agrees. She organized the petition.
Well, my first concern was the idea that it would not be affiliated or would not be a part of Indiana University, which was so contrary to the 75 plus years of protection.
Demonstrators said the university's plan to separate from Kinsey demonstrates a weak response to attacks on LGBTQ issues and leaves the institute's future uncertain. IU issued an earlier statement saying, quote, "It is firmly committed to protecting the intellectual freedom and academic inquiry of the Kinsey Institute and is taking steps to ensure that its work continues in perpetuity," unquote. With reporting from Ethan Sandwise, for WFYI, I'm Sarah Neil Estes.
A new version of the popular diabetes treatment, Mounjaro, can now be sold as a weight loss drug. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved Eli Lilly's Zepbound. It is the latest diabetes drug approved for weight loss. The FDA approved Lilly's drug for people who are considered obese or those who are overweight with a related health condition like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, or diabetes. New funding from Indiana University Health aims to improve health outcomes for Hoosiers in need. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Violet Comber-Weiland reports the grant money will help address social and environmental issues that affect people's health.
The more than $9.3 million is awarded to 14 community partners who are working to improve the lives of Hoosiers in need. This includes funding for community health education and outreach programs, support services for youth facing homelessness, and financial training for low-income families. This new grant funding comes from the IU Health Foundation's Community Impact Investment Fund. In a press release, IU health officials say this fund will help to address socioeconomic and environmental factors that contribute to poor health and lower life expectancy. Including the newest round of grants, the CIIF has awarded organizations more than $32 million in funding since 2018. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Violet Comber-Weiland.
Both the Indiana Democratic and Republican parties had reasons to celebrate Tuesday's election results. Democrats flipped mayoral seats in Evansville, Terre Haute, and Lawrence, among others, while Republicans continued to strengthen their advantage in rural Indiana and regained some ground in Hamilton County, the northern suburbs of Indianapolis. Political scientist Andrew Downs says, in a broad sense, it was a kind of status quo election.
Both can say, yeah, we had a good night. We're proud of ourselves. And really, in many respects, they will have to acknowledge they could have had better nights.
Down says it's hard to predict much about 2024 from 2023's results, since this year's races are so much more locally focused.
Potholes are not dealt with at the state level. Picking up leaves and removing snow, those aren't dealt with at the state level.
Downs did say that both parties can focus on areas where they scored key victories and look to build from those bases of support for next year. And for our in-depth story today, Victoria Shorten's daughter, Lena, needed a nurse to go to school. Lena has a severe form of asthma. But Lena's public school system in Northwest Indiana wouldn't allow her to bring a nurse to school. WFYI's Lee Gaines reports that Shorten did what few parents have the resources to do. She fought for her daughter's right to an education.
Come in!
Lena is excited to show off her bedroom. It's very pink, but she says she doesn't like pink that much anymore. What she's really into is French fries.
Are they your favorite food?
Yes. They're my most favorite food.
Lena's mom, Victoria Shorten, notices that she may be getting short of breath.
You can take a break and breathe if you need to. She has asthma and some other breathing problems.
Yeah, I do have asthma.
Lena was born premature. She spent over 4 months in the neonatal intensive care unit, and Lena now lives with multiple chronic health conditions.
Like, the main ones are really, like, the breathing issues. Those are going to be lifelong.
For most of Lena's life, she's had a nurse by her side, paid for by her family's insurance. When Lena was ready for kindergarten in 2019, Shorten wanted her to go to their neighborhood elementary school in Valparaiso, the same school her older siblings attended. But the Porter County Special Education System told Shorten that Lena couldn't bring her nurse to school. Shorten says that wasn't a safe option for her daughter.
I was worried about her choking and no one noticing it. I was worried about her having an asthma attack and having it progress to the point of needing intubation again or worse.
Shorten eventually enrolled Lena in a private school that allows her to bring her nurse with her every day. Then Shorten discovered something that destroyed her trust in the public school system. She learned that students with disabilities have a right to a public education, and that the public school system may have violated her rights when it refused to let Lena bring a nurse to school.
It really made me angry. It made me so angry. And that's why I was like, I've got to do something, get this corrected.
Shorten hired a lawyer and requested something called a due process hearing. It's like a court case. The school system and the family present their evidence and call witnesses to testify. And then an independent hearing officer makes a ruling. It's an adversarial and expensive process for both families and schools.
And it becomes investing a huge amount of educational resources and time on law rather than on kids, if you will.
That's Perry Zirkel. He's a professor emeritus at Lehigh University who studies special education law. His research shows that, in most states, schools win a majority of these cases.
So the law itself is skewed towards districts.
For example, school districts have easy access to attorneys. Families, on the other hand, may struggle to find and afford a lawyer. Families can get their attorney's fees reimbursed, but only if they win. Shorten knew she could be on the hook for tens of thousands of dollars.
I was like, I guess I could file bankruptcy if I have to. I don't know. I have to do something.
Shorten says the process also took an emotional toll. She had to hand over records of personal exchanges with friends and family, and she pulled Lena's siblings out of the public school system because she feared retaliation from the district. Shorten beat the odds. She won her due process case. The hearing officer ordered the school system to pay $22,000 to cover the cost of Lena's education for the prior 2 years.
The really sad part is, in the end, when you win, what do you win? You win what you were supposed to already have been given without the fight. So it's kind of just really crappy.
But the school system appealed, and the case was settled out of federal court. An administrator for Porter County Education Services told WFYI they can't respond to questions about individual students. They also didn't answer any questions about what due process is like for schools. So I found someone else to talk to.
It's a lot of stress and pressure on our teachers, on our staff, as well as on our parents.
Phyllis Wolfram directs the Council of Administrators of Special Education. Due process can also cost districts a lot of money. And it takes time.
There are many after-hour requirements of teachers and staff that become involved, or the hiring of substitutes to pull those teachers out of classes to do preparation for it.
And these proceedings can harm relationships. Megan Burke is a special education professor at Vanderbilt University. She says many families choose to leave their school district after filing for due process.
Because at that point, your relationship with the school system is so fragmented, it's probably unsalvageable.
Shorten lost faith in her public school system even before they went through a due process. But her daughter Lena is doing well in her private school.
I'm in fourth grade, and like sometimes it's hard. Every Friday we have a poem to practice.
The school has also accommodated all of her needs.
I'm allowed to be her parent in that setting, which is nice. And I don't have to sit there and compete with, you know, somebody else on what her best interests are.
Lena is in her last year at the private school. Shorten needs to choose where to send her next. She says no matter what, she won't send her to the local public school. I'm Lee Gaines, WFYI News.
That's all for today's episode of WFYI News Now. Today's podcast was produced by the following people who live in your community: Aubriana Heron, Kendall Antron, who composed the music for this podcast, and me, Darian Benson. Our news director is Sarah Neil Estes. If you liked today's episode, remember to subscribe and share. And find us wherever you get your podcasts to hear more stories about your community.